from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. They're extraordinary. Photos from the streets of Chicago. People in mid-conversation, their shadows and silhouettes. People waiting for the bus, waiting for who knows who, waiting for life. The photographer who took these photographs was a woman named Vivian Meyer. She's the person who made those connections to people on the streets of Chicago. But as Richard Cahan and Michael Williams write in their new book, Vivian Meyer, Out of the Shadows, hers was a short connection, a 60th of a second. But in that sliver of time, Vivian Meyer did something remarkable. And as remarkable as her work is, the details of her life story are even more so. Vivian Meyer made her living as a nanny. Her photography was done with kids in tow or while the kids were in school. She never showed her work, never talked about it. Her work only became known after her death in 2009. Now Vivian Meyer's work is on display for the first time in the Bay Area. And in this half hour, we're going to consider the images of life that she captured, as well as her own extraordinary life that captured those images. Joining us, Ken Light, photo director for the University of California, Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. The exhibit, See All About It, Vivian Meyer's Newspaper Portraits, is going to be at the Northgate Hall at the UC Berkeley School of Journalism. Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
And joining us as well is Richard Cahan. He's the co-author of Vivian Meyer, Out of the Shadows. The exhibit Vivian Meyer, Out of the Shadows is going to be seen at the Scott Nichols Gallery in San Francisco. Richard, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you.
Thanks for both for joining us. These are just extraordinary. I saw this book for the first time yesterday, and they just take you in. And we have some of them posted on our website, and I'd encourage our listeners to go and take a look at them as well as to go to these exhibits because they're just remarkable. And I'd like you to begin each by describing any photo that you want, actually, and what's so extraordinary about them. Richard, pick a photo, any photo, and
well,
tell us what you see.
You know, the interesting thing is that I love many of the photos, but if I had to pick one, it's a picture of a couple who just got off a bus in downtown Chicago, and they look tired and distraught, and they have their daughter standing in front of them, and it's just an everyday moment, the kind of things that we see all the time, but what makes it incredible to me is that Vivian was there, and she snapped the camera, and
And what do you think? I mean, we'll get to her amazing story in a moment, but she had obviously this keen eye. But she was also really a journalist because she saw those moments, captured them, and just shot them once. Is that right, Richard? It wasn't like she stood around and took picture after picture after picture of a particular couple in this case.
It is right, and I like the way that you used the word journalist. I think she was a journalist too. But I am talking about being a journalist in the form of creating a journal mm-hmm. of life. She actually was something of a celebrity stalker. She took pictures of everyone from Charles de Gaulle to President Nixon to Shirley Temple Black. But 99.9% of her pictures were just what she saw every day, taking the train down to downtown Chicago, traveling around the world, stopping in Los Angeles. It was just creating, documenting her life.
Ken Light, as a journalist, as the photo director at UC Graduate School of Journalism, describe a photo that you see that speaks to this special quality that she had.
The picture that I really love is actually a shot in our show that's up now, and it's a woman with, I guess, a wealthy woman peeking out from over the top of the Wall Street Journal, because our show is all about newspapers and the life of newspapers in Chicago. And it's very almost reminds me of Diane Arbus, her work, the look of the woman, the invisibility of Vivian, which is quite remarkable, the fact that she was able to take these photographs. Most of them, people are not looking at her. It's almost as if she's not there, which is, you know, an incredible, in any age of photography, an incredible skill.
Well, let's describe how she actually took them for a moment, because in our time, this takes us back in time to a different kind of camera, and Is that significant? Describe the camera, if you would, Ken, and what's interesting about that and what that perhaps allowed her to do.
Yeah, the camera is a twin-lens reflex camera. So it's a camera that we call a waist-level camera rather than most cameras today, digital or film, are eye-level cameras. And so she's looking down into the viewfinder. And so it's held at your waist. And so it's not quite as intrusive as the normal eye-level camera where people see you shooting. And plus, she's using a normal or a wider lens, and so she's not using telephoto. So she does have to be close, but she's kind of not as seen and can shoot in a way from the hip. That's a very different style. And you
literally,
can see that,
yeah.
Literally from her hip, and you can see that. And also the negative is different. So it's a medium format negative, 2.25 by 2.25 inch. So the pictures when they're blown up are just spectacular. And the square shape, she's really a master of the square shape, which is not easy to do. It's pretty difficult.
And as I understand it, Richard Cahan, you didn't crop or touch up or in any way fuss around with these photos. Is
right.
that right? I mean, they're right out of the camera. She had that sense of composition?
That's exactly right. We certainly clean them up if there was dust on them, but this is exactly how her camera saw it. There was no cropping. And frankly, we've looked at about 20,000 or of pictures, and there's not many that I would want to crop. And I spent years as a picture editor, and my life was cropping pictures, going for the nuggets. And as Ken says, the square shape is really difficult because it's not horizontal, it's not vertical, and it's very static. But somehow she fills that frame with a sense of movement, which is very hard to do on a square with a square camera.
So let's step back for a moment and describe something about who this remarkable woman was, because her story is as astonishing, really, as her photographs. Richard, just give us a short sketch of who she was, what she did, what she was like, from what we know, which is, of course, a big question mark, too.
Right, right. She was an incredibly private person. When I talked to most people who knew her, they used the word substantial. When she walked in a room, people knew that she was there. She had lots of opinions. She had lots of comments. She talked a lot. She questioned a lot. But she never talked about herself. In fact, she really enjoyed having a sense of privacy. There was a time when she was in the 1950s when she was working as a nanny, and she assigned parts to a play, a children's play, to all the kids around her. And one of the kids said, Miss Meyer, what part are you going to play? And she just said, I'll be the mystery woman.
Hmm.
And I think that's the role she was most comfortable in.
And as far as we know, she never showed her photographs during her lifetime, never really talked about them. And her employers, these various well-to-do people on the North Shore of Chicago, didn't ask about them either. It was entirely a mystery.
It was. We talked to many people who worked at camera shops where she developed her film. And some of them had gotten a peek at the film. But they really didn't think it was anything, you know, incredible, because they were really just very domestic scenes. So, you know, they returned it to her. She used to write down on all of on many of her films, the camera men, the salespeople behind the counter would say, "Customer demands excellent results." So she obviously cared a lot about the pictures, but she didn't. We've never found anyone that she really sat down and showed them to. Couple of kids, she showed snapshot books of, but that was it.
And again, these were stored. She moved them from household to household where she worked, garages, whatever, eventually put in storage. And then they were auctioned off when she could no longer pay for the storage and really only became discovered after she passed away. So at that moment of discovery, if either of you had been there, would you have known right away, Ken Light, that this was something extraordinary? I mean, I guess where I'm going with this is I'm wondering to what extent do these speak for themselves? If I didn't know the backstory, if I didn't know that she was this mystery woman, would they still leap out at you?
I think they would leap out at you. And, of course, the massive number of rolls of film that were discovered, you begin to wonder, what is this all about? It's not just like it's 10 rolls of film. It's hundreds and hundreds of rolls of film. But obviously, we're quite lucky as the people who discovered it in Chicago that they did, in fact, realize that it was a gem, because these things can be easily just thrown out or not looked at. I would hope that, yeah, I would look at it and think something was there.
What's your view on that, Richard? Because it's a little bit of a chicken and egg question in some ways. You wonder if she would be getting all of this remarkable attention if she'd been, you know, someone with an MFA who had always aspired to be a photographer and whose career goal was to get this beautiful book published.
Well, two things. I think there's no question that her work stood out immediately. When the first buyers of the Vivian Maier photographs started selling the pictures on eBay, many people responded to them quickly. And Alan Sekula, who was a photo teacher and art critic, a photographer and art critic in California, immediately contacted the seller and said, "This is something very special. You shouldn't be splitting them up. You shouldn't be selling them like this." So they were really, it was very clear from the start how special it was. The question of what would have happened if Vivian was alive. So many people come up to us when they see the book or hear us talk, and they say, "It's so sad that Vivian isn't around to see this." The truth of it is she, if she was alive, she probably could not have let this happen. She was an incredibly private person. Hmm. And although my guess is that she was proud of her photographs, she would have never wanted to share her life like this if she was still alive, I don't think.
And which takes us back to your point before, Richard, about this being a kind of journal, in a sense, a private,
right,
a diary. And do you see these also, Ken, in that sort of journalistic way that she had, you know, what any great news photographer has, the capability to see a moment and capture it?
Yes, and I think her work is really brilliant, and it, you know, looks deeply at the human condition, which is, I think, why people are so drawn to it. It's things that we normally would just walk by on our daily walk around town or getting in a taxi cab or anything we do, and yet she stopped and she realized that those moments were really the moments about life. And then having the ability to create these just incredible photographs in public places just brings it to that level that is so rare in photography.
One of the things that's striking as you look at these images, and again, we've got a number of them posted on our website if you want to take a look at them and get some sense of what these images are like, and then we'll also remind everyone of where they can actually go see them in person. But one of the things, Richard, that's striking about them is her ability to sense and capture light and shadow. You know, you read about Ansel Adams or others or people who would sort of visit and revisit a site and come back and forth and get there just when the light was right.
Right.
I don't know how she did it, but there are these photographs that are just extraordinary in terms of the light and shadow that she just, I don't know how she do it.
You know, I ask myself that question all the time. I've worked with photographers for 30 years, and this is something that's very special. Most contact sheets that I look at, and there obviously are thousands of them, have one or more pictures that I think could easily be put in a book or exhibited in a museum wall. The rate that she did this at was spectacular. But even just her courage to flip the shutter on very mundane events. You know,
right,
we do that now. We go out around and we Instagram and we Facebook and we show what we ate and we, you know, we expect the whole world to be interested in it. She was doing this when every time she flipped the shutter, it probably cost a dollar. But by the time she bought the film, she processed the film, and so it wasn't just a casual click of the shutter. She took at least a roll a day, every day of her life, and she found things that very professional photographers would never see.
I'm looking at a photograph right now of a stack of dishes that have just been washed,
right,
and are in a sink, and there are apples on the window, and the light's coming in, and you almost feel like she must have said, "All right, cue the light," you know, because it's so perfect.
It is perfect.
It is perfect. She had an incredible artistic eye. And she had an incredible ability to just sense that her life was worth documenting. When we see these pictures, I think one of the reasons why there's such universal appeal to these pictures is that we've seen all of these pictures before, like the scene of the counter in the kitchen. The only difference is we never took the photograph, and we never took it with this kind of skill.
Richard Cahan is co-author of Vivian Maier, Out of the Shadows. The exhibition Vivian Maier, Out of the Shadows is currently at the Scott Nichols Gallery in San Francisco. There'll be a reception and a Q&A on April the 5th. Also a film, new film called The Vivian Maier Mystery, will be screened at SF Camera Work on April the 4th. Then the other exhibit is See All About It, Vivian Maier's newspaper, Portraits, which is going to be at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, is already, rather, at Northgate Hall. Ken Light joins us, who's the photo director from that organization. You can join our conversation as well. If you have a question about this, interested in how you can learn more about the life of Vivian Maier, join us at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. Ken Light, you were going to add something, or am I imagining?
No, I was going to say that Richard Cahan, who's talking to us today, is going to be coming from Chicago and going to be at our opening with his partner who did this book on Wednesday. And it's a big reception for the new Reva and David Logan Gallery. So UC Berkeley received a very large $3.1 million grant to endow the gallery, to create a professorship in photojournalism, and also to bring the Logan's photo books from Chicago to the Bancroft. So we're going to have a huge celebration open to the public. Starts at 5 o'clock at Northgate Hall, and then the lecture will be at 6:15.
And this is next Wednesday, April
this
the
is
2nd?
Next Wednesday, April 2nd.
Great.
Correct.
866-733-6786 if you want to join us. I want to ask about this one photograph, if I might. I'm going to see if I can find it here. But
sure.
you probably know it right offhand, Richard, because it combines a dish rack and Jesus. Do you know the one I mean? It's at, I guess it's some street market or something.
Is it the Maxwell Street Market? Yes.
And there's the photograph, there's an empty dish rack sitting in some sort of wicker chair, and then there's a painting of Jesus stacked behind
right.
it. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's this remarkable sort of come here and take a look kind of moment. Can you describe it further for me?
Well, I think you've described it well. I think the key to this is that Vivian was really looking for very small moments. This was an era in the 1950s and 60s that photojournalists and a lot of photographers were looking for the decisive moment, the moment that someone's jumping over a puddle with an umbrella, the moment of a great home run. And while most photojournalists and most photographers are looking for those, she's looking for the exact opposite, these tiny little almost haiku moments that say so much about life.
In that way, Ken Light, it does connect up with current trends in terms of people snapping photos with their iPhone, Instagram, capturing every little tiny bit of everyday life.
It does. And of course, you know, she's part of a great, great history in the history of photography from Eugene Auger and Gary Winogrand and Diane Arbus and Helen Levitt and Joel Meyerowitz. It's wonderful to add her to the canon and to see what she's done and to realize what's possible if you really focus as a photographer like she did and just really have a theme and work and think and go out in the street and make photographs.
Do we know, Richard or Ken, if she had any training, was she entirely self-taught, or is that also part of the mystery?
It is part of the mystery. The first photographs that we have, she took in France with a box camera in the late 1940s, and they're really quite skilled. And to think that somebody could come out of the box and take these photographs seems implausible. But those years in the late 40s when she was living in New York City are still somewhat of a mystery. And we're just not sure. We've checked through records of every design school, major design school in that period. She's not showing up. But she certainly was going to the MoMA, and she was going to see, you know, she bought lots of photography magazines, and she was certainly aware, very aware of photography during those years and for the rest of her life.
And she was the era of Life magazine. So I think for that generation of photographers, it really was Life magazine that
right.
was the,
mm-hmm.
that was the school you went to.
Mm-hmm.
So every week
right.
you came into your home, and you flipped through it, and you saw Cartier-Bresson and Alfred Eisenstadt and Wayne Miller and all these incredible photographers, and that's how you learn. There weren't photography schools in that era.
Let's go to our first right. caller who wants to pick up on this same idea, I think. David,
sure.
go ahead in Oakland.
Yeah, this is David, and I was a trailer the other night at a different film about the Saturn accelerator, and about Vivian Maier, and I saw something in the New York Times about her, of course. The thing that immediately leapt to my mind was Cartier-Bresson, because looking at her photographs, I think there were about a dozen of them in the Times, she's not there. And it's really, you know, that must be some kind of an inborn skill that I don't think any school or anyone can teach you. And I just wondered if, I'm sure that the people you're talking to would be aware of an obvious, and you mentioned she was in Europe. Is it possible that she saw his work at that time in the 40s? He was certainly known. And I just wondered if they care to comment on that.
David, thanks. Richard?
Yeah, I think I was influenced by the French photographers of the period. She lived in France in the 1930s, and she was very proud of her French heritage. And I think that her pictures have a romance and a love of everyday life that is very reflective of those photographers.
Are there things, Ken Light, that you'd like your students at UC Berkeley to, who aren't of the Life magazine era, as you put it, to see what's to be learned from an aspiring photographer's point of view?
I think what's to be learned is to look deeply at the things around you. And unfortunately, what happens now in our generation is they're all on cell phones. They're taking pictures with cell phones. They're texting. They're not really looking. And I think one of the great things about her work is that she looked everywhere she went. She had that camera around her neck, and she looked, and she wasn't afraid to document things, mundane things, the simple things of life. And I think often today's generation of students is looking for the fabulous, fantastic story that's going to be so important. But the little things, even the dish rack and the Jesus picture at the flea market, is something that someone might just walk past. And so I would hope my students would stop and smell the flowers, so to speak, and pick up their cameras and record, because those things disappear. And I think one of the fascinating things about her work is, in fact, this whole part of Chicago is gone.
Yeah.
And she recorded it. And that's why we're so in love with her work, because it's an era that's disappeared and she photographed it so fully.
866-733-6786 if you'd like to join our conversation. Brian is next. Brian, go ahead.
Yes. My name is Brian Carr. I live in Santa Rosa. But I'm listening to your program, and it's just incredible that somebody like Richard Cahan would and these people that noticed this other woman. I have a stash of photographs that I've been keeping, but I have no idea what to do with them. And they chronicle such wonderful things as the USS United States in dry dock before it was all messed up by people changing it, and the AIDS quilt at Moscone Center when it first went on display, and New Orleans, you know, pre-Katrina. Just this photographer's name was Shooter, and he was just being published and just beginning to get some, you know, when he died of AIDS, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would love for someone to be able to, like, scan or take these things and just, I mean, there's just beautiful photographs of celebrities that are unpublished.
Let me hold you there, Brian. So these are all photographs that you have, and so this is probably not an uncommon story in some ways. I mean, Vivian Maier is obviously uncommon, and the quality of her work and this extraordinary discovery that happened just a few years ago. But I bet there are a lot of Brians out there and a lot of photographers out there who have captured these things, and they're in someone's suitcase or someone's trunk or in someone's garage or basement. What, as a photo director, what do you do, Ken Light?
It is. Absolutely a big problem, because archives can only hold so many pictures. But there are, I think, still great discoveries to be made. And I would suggest he contact the local museum and see if they can be looked at, because there are people who do have important images, and they are important to preserve. This is our history, and our visual history is so important to us.
Richard Cahan, you probably have people coming up to you since this book was published all the time saying, I want you to look at the pictures in my attic. And what do you say? Because, you know, probably the odds are they're not Vivian Maier, but you never know.
Well, I say send them to me. I love photography. I want to see them.
Well, there you go, Brian. You can send them to Richard.
Yeah, I'm easy to find on Facebook or online. I think this speaks to really the power of photography and the power of cameras and what valuable evidence cameras capture.
Yeah.
So I think that there really needs to be some kind of photography center, so that all of this valuable material isn't thrown out.
Brian, thanks for the call, and Richard, your man. Let's go next to Bill in San Francisco. Bill, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, apparently the artist passed away and she didn't have enough money to pay for storage. So I'm wondering now about the finances and the profits from the show.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Who gets that money?
Yeah, it's a great question. Richard?
It's a great question. The owners of the actual negatives have worked for several years to get copyright of the photographs. They are claiming copyright. There are no relatives. There's been exhaustive searches for relatives. And it's a difficult question. But I was faced with a situation where copyright at the time when we did the book wasn't clear. But do you not publish a book and keep this from the world, or do you share it with the world and hope that it will work out? And I'm going with number two.
Yeah, no, fascinating part of all of this, she was so fascinating.
And it's not such an unusual part of photography where photographers make photographs and decades later their photographs sell in the art market at auction or in galleries for tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they or their family never see the money.
Couple of comments I want to read, and then we'll have to wrap things up, I'm afraid. Michael writes in, there's a big difference between Vivian Meyer's photographs and the current snap, 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 post, post, post that is going on today. Another person wonders about the process of shooting. Did she really just go out and shoot and take her camera along, or was there a process to that? Richard, just a quick answer.
She did. Her days off were Thursdays and Sundays. She took her camera. She oftentimes took the train downtown, and she just watched the flow of people walking by her, or she had the camera with her when she was working as a nanny, working with families.
Richard Canned, last summarize, if you can, what's so special to you and why people should come out and see these photos.
Well, this has been an amazing experience for me because I feel like I'm sharing something special with people. Whenever I talk or show the photographs, there's always this moment that people say to themselves, this woman can't be this good.
Yeah.
This is a great story, but how good could somebody be who just worked on their own? And then there's always this aha moment. I was talking in a lecture recently, and this kind of curmudgeon man who kept shaking his head no, all of a sudden, after about the 50th picture we showed, said, I don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a thrill.
Again, Richard Canned, the book Vivian Meyer, Out of the Shadows, at the Scott Nichols Gallery, and a reception and Q&A on April the 5th, and then at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, Ken Light. Reception again, when that is and when people can
reception
come?
Reception is Wednesday, April 2nd. Celebration from 5 to 6:15, and then the lecture with Richard from 6:15 to 7:15 at Northgate Hall at corner of Hurst and Euclid, open to the public. Please join us.
We hope to see you.
Indeed. Everyone should go take a look. As your person said, I can't believe it. They really are extraordinary. Ken Light, Richard Canned, thanks so much. This is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.